Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Deep pass, right side, end zone, it's caught!
Presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
It's a touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown by John Brown. It's intercepted by Peterson in midfield.
Oh, baby!
And the Cardinals are going to win the game.
How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealoux, the Jetstream Roy Green, and Bertrand Barry.
We built our team on running the ball and stopping the run. The words of head coach Bruce Arians following the Cardinals' win over the Titans on Sunday. And the Cardinals did just that. They ran the football. They stopped the run. And it's why they are 6-7 here after 14 weeks of the 2017 season. Good afternoon, I should say good morning, as we come to you live as we do each and every Tuesday from the Cardinals facility in Tempe. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. And as always, we are live streaming via the Cardinals Twitter account at AZCardinals. And for those who do log on for that live stream, you can check out B-Train rocking the Bruce Arians look this morning. Very well done.
I mean, the Kango, I've been rocking this since I was a little guy. You know what I mean? My dad always rocked these. And so, you know, we give shout-outs to B.A., but, you know, we had a little style and flair before B.A. It's all good, though.
Well, let's give a shout-out to your side of the football, B-Tran, and that's the defense on what they were able to accomplish, holding the Titans to their fewest points, their fewest total net yards, and basically, well, they did. They shut them down, especially in that second half.
They really shut down what Tennessee wanted to do first and foremost, which was run the football. The fact that they had 65 yards rushing on 22 carries, that's less than 3 yards per carry. I think that really set the tone. It really exposed Marcus Mariota and showing that he is not the guy that can beat you with his arm or with his legs. And so the game plan was simple. Be physical at the line of scrimmage, not allow these guys to get going downhill. And the fact that they made them into a one-dimensional offense, you saw the two interceptions. And to me, that was the difference in the ballgame.
And 10 rushing yards in the second half. On the other side of the ball, Roy, the Cardinals run game, 104 yards in the second half, a buck 36 for the game, led by Kerwin Williams. Chad Williams had the jet sweep of 33 yards, so the Cardinals found something against, once again, a solid defense coming out of the AFC South.
You know, we basically did what Tennessee's done all year. I mean, we kind of took their blueprint allowed them to be an 8-4 team coming in here and took it over and used it against them. I mean, we ran the ball extremely well. didn't create turnovers offensively. Kept them off balance where they had to play run first, something they didn't like to do. And we maintained the lead. You know, Tennessee as a team, because of their blueprint, the way they play football is, hey, if we get ahead and make those teams have to pass, then we can beat them with our great pass rush and our defensive backfield that's ranks among the best in this league. But we took that away from them, reversed the tide, and got the W playing Tennessee Titan-type football.
12-7, the final. Let's take you inside the Cardinals locker room, hear from head coach Bruce Arians and what he told his team after the win.
The character in this room, can't say enough about every man that stood up today. Couldn't be prouder as a coach, but the character stood out today. Congratulations, I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yay! Hey,
shoot, shoot!
Hey, man, it's a great team win, man. Cards on three. No. 1, 2, 3, cards!
Voice of Carlos Dansby there at the end. You heard Coach say, I'll see you on Wednesday. Yes, a victory Monday. And then obviously the players' off day on Tuesday. The Cardinals will be back on the practice field on Wednesday. But that great character phrase that Coach Arian said there, something B-Train that he told the media on Friday going into the ballgame, because let's face it, at 5-7 at that point, it would have been very easy, at least for us on the outside of that locker room, to say, you got a very small chance of the playoffs. There's nothing left to play for, so why exert that injury? Why put your body out there? Yet the Cardinals did just the opposites and did exert the energy and put their bodies on the line.
And that does show great character. It shows that the type of men that are in that locker room are made of the right stuff, and it truly matters to them. We understand that they've had a lot of different things come up against the Cardinals this year, a lot of injuries, a lot of inconsistent play at certain positions, but yet and still, they still fight, and they still come with it each and every Sunday. And I think that that is something that is going to bode well for these players, because you may not be in the playoffs, but you're still playing for your job with these last couple games. And I thought they did a great job of really meeting the challenge where it was and coming out and really beating that team at their own game. The fact that they were able to hold them to so few yards rushing, and though it wasn't an it wasn't a pretty game, it was still a win. And as long as you come out on top as far as the score is concerned, no matter what happens throughout the course of the game, you take the win as it is.
I think it also, and you could hear it in B.A.'s voice, you know, how extremely proud of him. But beyond that, you know, late in the year when things haven't gone well and teams, you wonder, you know, are they going to show up? It speaks volumes when they do, because it means we have great, great respect for our coach. You know, when a coach can still have the attention of his players and the players are playing hard, you know, not only for themselves but for him, it means a heck of a lot. And you can hear the appreciation in his voice when he talked about it at the end of the game.
A very low-scoring affair. Cardinals offensively did not find the end zone, just 4 Phil Dawson field goals to make it a 27 or 12-7 ball game for the Cardinals. General Manager Steve Keim on his weekly appearance on the Doug and Wolf Show talking about the big victory over the Titans.
That was a hard-fought win, and extremely proud of our guys. When you look at the amount of players on injured reserve and the frontline starters that are missing, it just continues to say a lot about the character in our locker room, just like Coach said.
That is General Manager Steve Keim on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Now the injuries. All was not good on Sunday. At least the Cardinals were able to enjoy it. But then on Monday, asked about the injuries. In fact, it was part of Coach's opening statement. Well, there are a couple of more injuries, especially along that Cardinals offensive line.
Injury-wise, Jarrett Valdir cracked his ankle, and he'll go on IR. Earl Watford has a high ankle sprain, and we'll have to reshuffle some guys on the offensive line.
One more injury note, Gabe Martin suffered a hamstring injury. He will probably miss some extended time, but back to that offensive line. Once again, here we are, B-Train, talking about shuffling the offensive line. Valdir is going to be landing himself on injured reserve, perhaps maybe even Earl Watford. If that is the case, now you're talking about 14 players total, although Aaron Brewer is going to come off IR and be the Cardinals' long snapper once again. But here, heading into this contest against the Redskins, the Cardinals will be with their 7th different offensive line combination. A year ago, the number was 8.
This has been the narrative of the 2017 season. You think about the 24 hours from Sunday to Monday. You feel good after a win. You're able to do some good things on the field. And then you're having to come out as the head coach and announce that 2 more guys are lost on the offensive line due to injury. It really speaks to the up and down of this season for the Arizona Cardinals, because they can't be consistent because the lineup isn't consistent. And if you don't have that type of lineup where you can just count on week in and week out, how do you expect to have success long term in this season? And the fact that they haven't won back-to-back games, it just falls right in line with what we've just heard.
So with Valdir going on IR, he'll join 2 other starters that the Cardinals were counting on along that offensive line this season, DJ Humphreys and Mike Iupati. Again, this is something that the Cardinals have dealt with all year long. Coach Arians announcing that Will Holden will step in at left tackle and Evan Bame will move back into his right guard spot, in which he started this season before being benched. But it's something that I know, Roy, every team deals with. It's just the fact that the Cardinals' injuries, at least from our perspective, have certainly hit the hardest when you're talking about quarterback, running back, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, safety, and then, of course, long snapper as well.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, and just like in football, you know, they, you know, it's the ultimate team sport without question, you know, but some areas of a football team that if you're not up to par in, you know, your chances of winning just, they really decrease. They really decrease. And in the National Football League, almost every coach tells you, you know, it's about being able to run the football first and foremost. Continuity on the offensive line. And when you don't have that, there's a problem. You know, B-Train said something very, very interesting when he talked about the inconsistency, because there's nothing really you can count on, because when you're shuffling people week in and week out or bringing in a new guy, each player has a different skill set, something that they're stronger in. So the week prior, say, okay, we know that when we run to the right side, that combination there are really good at running the football. You know, those two guys, you know, we can count on getting some positive yards on that side. And then the next week, that changes. Okay, now, okay, we can't run that way this time, so maybe we have to go on this side. But, you know, this other side is, they're better, you know, pass protection. It just creates a huge, huge problem, you know, for an offense when you have no continuity, not the same guys starting at the same position on offense. And from a coaching standpoint, it's just a nightmare.
Let's hear from Coach Arians on the number of injuries this team has suffered here in 2017.
You just have to laugh and go on, you know, what's next, and get a game plan that these guys can succeed at and go win a game.
Look, you can sit there and dissect and look at the number of guys on IR and say what a roster that is and feel better about yourself going into next season, but you're talking about still this season for the Cardinals. There is some good news on the injury front. Corey Peters is expected to return. Perhaps the Cardinals get John Brown back, maybe even Adrian Peterson, who's now missed two games with that neck injury. But in their absence, specifically on the running back side, Kerwin Williams, B-Train, has certainly taken advantage of his opportunities. Almost 100 yards 2 weeks ago, last Sunday 73 yards, and looking very, very good on that with the ball in his hands.
The one thing you love about Kerwin Williams, he's a guy that takes advantage of every single opportunity given, and the fact that he wasn't going to let bruised ribs stand in the way of him getting these opportunities, it just gives you even more respect for a Kerwin Williams. The fact that he was able to do that last, or week before last, you know, with bruised ribs and then come back again knowing that he's still not 100% and yet still being very, very effective, not only in the ground game, but in the passing game as well. He's a guy that understands that you got to seize the moment. And that's the one thing that if you are another player in that locker room, you can look at Kerwin Williams and say, this is a guy that definitely loves to seize the moment.
And the other guy offensively, Roy, we're talking about Blaine Gabbert. His first half, not good, but second half, 10 of 12, 122 yards. And the big stat, I know, B-Train, you've pointed to this out, but Roy, zero turnovers, and that had been an issue over the past 3 weeks.
No, it definitely had been an issue. One that you're always concerned about is quarterback, you know, protecting the football. And those numbers, I think, were not really indicative of, you know, how well he had played, because in a couple of instances we had fallen behind and you were just forced to throw. You had to take some chances. The one blindside shot that he fumbled the ball, you know, would have happened to anyone. So I eliminate three of those. But, you know, it was great to see him, you know, maintain his confidence after a very, very rough first half and come back and lead this football team in victory and play very well in the second half.
Right, I just wanted to say in reference to Blaine Gabbert too, a lot of times people are thinking that sacks are negative plays, but sometimes taking a sack is a positive for your football team, as opposed to trying to throw the ball down the field and maybe get a turnover or something. You eat the ball, you live to fight another play. I thought in a few instances, Blaine Gabbert, even though it was a negative play, I thought it was a winning football play because it gave the team another chance.
Well, he was sacked 8 times, but number 8 was a smart play because he went down as opposed to throwing the ball away or going out of bounds to keep that clock moving late in the contest. 12-7 the final. Some other players stepping up their game. We'll get into that next on the other side as we look back at what the Cardinals did to Tennessee. We do it here each and every Tuesday. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Chad Williams motions to the slot left. Gabbert under center. Takes the snap and gives to Williams on a jet sweep to the far side of the 20-yard line. He's at the 25, breaks a tackle, 30, 35, 40. Puts his head down, gets past the 45-yard line and out to the 47. A 32-yard run by Chad Williams showing off that great speed.
Chad Williams gets the edge, and what I love, he finished the run. He didn't run out of bounds. He dipped it, and he ripped it. You got to love that run. Do it again.
When we figure out on Sunday that that play is named after Roy Jetstream Green, so whatever Roy needs to do as far as, you know, get some
pay.
There we go. Some pay.
Well, we know it's old, too. It's an old play that's been around for a while.
Ow, that hurt. Ooh, they're going to leave a bruise.
Executed very, very well. Chad Williams, who has not had much opportunity this season, is getting his opportunity on that. Officially a 33-yard run. He was not targeted as a receiver, but specifically that last part in which you heard Ron Wolfley discuss, he did not go out of bounds, Roy. What does that tell you about the Cardinals rookie Chad Williams?
Well, first of all, he's tough. He likes to be labeled as a physical receiver. You know, that's kind of his forte coming out of Grambling, you know, that he was physical, that he was aggressive. And even he says, hey, I'm never going to run out of bounds. Now, well, maybe that'll change in the years to come. But right now it's good to see. And particularly, as we talked about earlier, late in the football season, when a team is, you know, virtually out of the playoffs, you like to see bringing a certain amount of intensity to ball games. And they showed it, that they're still in it to win it. They're going to be as physical as it takes or as this game allows. And when you get receivers doing that, I think it speaks volumes to, as Bruce Arians said in the postgame, the character of this football team.
And at that point in the contest, the Cardinals were driving for yet another Phil Dawson field goal that put them in the lead for the first time, 9-7, midway through the third quarter. But you look at Williams, B-Train, 6'1", 204, not very big. And I think it's something that he is learning from. You go back to the offseason training camp to where he is now. It has been a huge eye-opener for him as far as what it takes to get on the field, first of all, and then stay on the field at the NFL level.
No, he's not a big guy, but he's not a small guy by any stretch either. I mean, he's got a nice size to him, and I think that play really showed how bad he's wanted to get on the field for quite some time. He hadn't had a chance to really showcase what he could do, and when you first get the ball in your hand, the last thing that you want to do is have to give the ball up. So he wanted to go out there and show that if you give me an opportunity, I'm going to make the most of every single opportunity given, and the fact that he has that physicality, I think maybe he's learned a few things from number 11, just watching him go about the business of being a professional. So he's got a great mentor in Larry Fitzgerald, and I think that he was just so excited. He had all this energy bound up that's been, you know, waiting to come out for some time. And you saw all of the angst and the anger and the desire all in one play. And I think it's a great sign for Chad Williams.
He joined Paul Calvisi after the ball game on Sunday and discussed specifically that play, that 33-yard jet sweep.
You made a decision not to go out of bounds. You easily could have gone out of bounds, but you didn't.
I'm not going out of bounds.
Yeah. And that's you had that rep coming in. I mean, you know, you're going to play a physical brand of ball, aren't you?
Yeah, I want all of it.
Okay.
He welcomes the physicality. Also on that drive, Elijah Penny on the 18-yard swing pass also lowered his shoulder, welcomed the contact as opposed to taking the easy way and going out of bounds. Those extra yards helping because it was a 32-yard field goal for Dawson that made it 9-7. 12-7, the finals. We break down what the Cardinals did on Sunday. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. But we go back to the defense, and two players specifically both had interceptions, Tremon Williams and Josh Bynes, both players B-Train that were late additions, both training camp additions by general manager Steve Keim. Yet here we're talking about Tremon Williams. First of all, let's touch on him. We're not talking about that number two cornerback spot. It is Tremon Williams opposite Patrick Peterson.
And he was very patient when he first got here. He waited his time. He wasn't necessarily inserted into the starting lineup right away. But you look at one of those, as we say, those time signs, one of those guys that's a veteran that's got a point to prove. He talked about how he had been studying and how he had gone about the business of really getting a feel for Marcus Mariota on his own, watching film. And that's the advantage of having a veteran, a guy that knows what he's looking for, because there were two or three other occasions where he got his hands on balls and he should have had interceptions as well. And I know he's lamenting about that now, because all guys that are worth their salt, they worry about the ones they didn't get, not the ones that they did. But he's been a tremendous impact on this defense, and in particular the secondary, and it falls in line to what Steve Keim wants. He wants those veteran guys that can come in and really fill a spot and really have a point to prove.
It was Williams' second interception of the season. Speaking of the Cardinals general manager, here's his comments on Tremond Williams this week on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I thought Tremond Williams played extremely well. He's a guy that's been very, very consistent. You know, his ability to read routes, he's savvy, he's physical. For a guy that's a veteran player to come in late in the process like that, again, I'm extremely proud of the way he's played.
Also proud of the way Josh Bynes has performed as well for the Cardinals. His interception, the first of the season, second of his career, both, by the way, have come at University of Phoenix Stadium. He picked off Drew Stanton a few years back when he was a member of the Detroit Lions. But Bynes has certainly made the most of his opportunities as well, Roy. Only 11 defensive snaps. But it always seems number 57 is around the football in the area whenever he's on the field.
And it's been that way from day one, since the very first week that he came here in training camp. I mean, he just makes plays. You know, for me, you know, and you say another primetime Keim signing. Don't you always want – how did these guys get away? I mean, how did these guys seem to get away? Because it seems that when they're here, after Keim has found them, you know, he shines a light on that. These are really good football players, and you wonder why they're available. But I'm glad that they were. And as you said, both of those guys are guys that take advantage of situations. And B-Train also hit upon something very, very important, that when they came in, they always talked about learning the offense, learning as much as they could about it. And I think that the fact that now that they're making plays after coming in later, it just serves a great, great purpose in the locker room as teaching points for the young guys to understand, hey, I need to learn as much as I can about football, because when you do, it gives you an opportunity to make more football plays.
Coach Arians on Monday specifically talking about Josh Bynes and the number or how much film he watches on his iPad and the preparation during the week matching or equaling to success on Sunday. Bynes following the ball game, talking about the keys that the Cardinals defense has enjoyed, especially over the last couple of weeks.
I think everybody just bought in to what Coach was saying. Like, the team, we know we're a better team than what the record says. I think defensively, the last few games, we've just been stopping the run, definitely holding the team under 100 yards, and definitely being efficient on third down.
And here are those third down stats being trained over the last 3 weeks. Jacksonville, 1 of 12. The Rams, 3 of 11. Tennessee, 4 of 12.
And to me, that's winning football. That's what it takes, and that's what this team has been known for since Bruce Arians has been here. We talked about when you had Todd Bowles as a D coordinator, they were tops in the league against run defense, and this is something that they've always hung their hat on. They've always taken a tremendous amount of pride in stopping the other team from running the football, because that's the quickest way that you can get beat. And granted, you had some you know, fluctuation with the lineup. You lose a Marcus Golden, a guy that's really stout against the run, and you lose some other pieces. Corey Peters is not in there all the time, and you now have Deion Buchanan in there for a while. So they suffered from a lot of the same things that the offense suffered from. But these last couple weeks, I think collectively they've just made it up in their mind, we're going to get back to what we've been successful at and make sure that we limit teams and make them one-dimensional, because if we can do that, we've got enough guys that can go get the quarterback and make it tough on a quarterback for trying to throw the ball.
And both Williams and Bynes obviously in the spotlight here after what they did on Sunday in the last couple of weeks, both discussed openly since that ball game about their wanting, their desire, at least their interest in returning next season. Keep in mind, Williams and Bynes, both free agents in the 2018 offseason. Subscribe to Arizona Cardinals podcast on TuneIn, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go, like Cardinals Underground, The Big Red Rage, and of course this show, The Cardinals Red Sea Report. We have hit halftime here from the Cardinals facility in Tempe. On the other side, we start looking ahead this Sunday. Cardinals on the road. And wouldn't you know it, it's another early kickoff. That's all straight ahead. The Cardinals Red Sea Report presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Cardinals going to blitz Swearinger again. Cousins backing up, throws over the middle, and it is nearly picked off. It is intercepted by Patrick Peterson at the 20-yard line. Pressure by Swearinger. Peterson picks off the pass, and the Cardinals are going to win the ball game.
Hunt's over the wall. Bring seven. Bring everybody. Bring Ed Enda off the corner. Bring everybody to the party.
Flashback to last season, last time the Cardinals and Redskins played. Cardinals won that contest 31-23 at University of Phoenix Stadium. In fact, the Cardinals have won the last two meetings against Washington. Patrick Peterson with the interception as the Cardinals will play Washington coming up this Sunday. We talk about it here on the Cardinals Red Sea Reports, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Riolu, Roy Green, Bertram Berry, and joined by Mike Jarecki for the second half of the Cardinals Red Sea Report. We do it each and every Tuesday, 11 to noon, from the Cardinals facility in Tempe. That play-by-play, Dave Patch, Ron Wolfley. You heard the name, DJ Swearinger. Certainly a blast from the past. One of those Cardinals defensive starters that was lost in the offseason, signed with Washington, became a captain, very outspoken captain with the Redskins, who the Cardinals will play with a 5-8 record.
Yeah, and we knew that they weren't going to be able to retain everyone. And obviously, when you go out and look at it, I mean, Tyvon Branch, and you bring in Antoine Bethea, and you know, Swearinger's on his fourth team in his career as a former second-round pick with the Texans. He was with the Bucks, and he was with the Cardinals, and I was told he wasn't a great locker room guy. And then, not surprising to hear his comments when he's wearing the C on his jersey, talking about they haven't been prepared to practice all week. And so you would think that conversation would take place more in the locker room than in the media.
Yeah, he certainly was not happy. Tony Bergstrom, another former Cardinal with the Redskins as well, mentioned their record. They're 5-8. They've lost two in a row. Fell at the Chargers on Sunday, 30-13. Of course, when you bring up Washington B. Train, it's one name at the forefront, and that is Kirk Cousins. He's been kind of up and down, but he is one of those guys that, well, Washington and him, is there a relationship after this season? The long term, the back and forth, the franchise tag 2 years in a row, but he is someone that when he's on, he can throw the ball very, very well.
Yeah, you like that. You really like that, right? You know, and I think his relationship with Washington, it used to be like a love relationship, but I think it's, I like you a lot, but I want to see other people now. And I look at Kurt and the fact that he doesn't play the same way on the road that he does at home. The fact that we're getting him at home, I think you're going to see a better Kirk Cousins. The weather is going to play a factor with the temperatures being a little bit lower than what we're used to seeing here at University of Phoenix Stadium. But I don't think there's any excuses. You just go out and you play. And they've not met their expectations. The Cardinals haven't met their expectations. So it's two teams that are pretty frustrated at this point. But if I look at a team that is a little more focused, I'm going to go on the side of the Cardinals, because now you got a lot of speculation on whether Gruden's going to be back as the coach. I mean, there's a lot of disarray there. And as you talked about, MJ, with the comments coming from Swearinger, you know, about being prepared, you just can't have that kind of talk out there about your team. You always keep that in-house, and that could be something that could really fracture that locker room.
You talk about, well, who wants it more? Sometimes it's kind of a cliche, but this very well could be the storyline as far as which team shows up on Sunday and who wants to win the ball game. Coach Arians earlier this week asked about the Redskins and, of course, the Cardinals having to go back to the East Coast.
They're tough at home. It's a tough stadium to play in over the years, having been there. They're professionals, too. They're going to be ready to win. So we've got to go play our best game. Something we've struggled to do is go play early on Sunday mornings on the East Coast.
Yeah, another 11 a.m. kickoff, Roy. And this has been an issue this year, last year, but early on in Coach Arians' tenure here with the Cardinals, it was not an issue. Only recently, in which those early kickoffs, did they fly in on Friday, which they will do this week? Do you go in on Saturday? I mean, they've done it both ways, yet it doesn't seem to matter. They've only got one win this season on those early kickoffs.
Well, secret, It's always been an issue for as long as there's been football. Traveling like that has always been an issue. But those years you were talking about, we had superior football team. Let's get that straight. You know, right now, this team's playing very well right now. Something that we haven't had the consistency over the years. And I think what's really going to play a part, you talked about it just now, about, you know, who wants it more. And everybody does, but when you hear stuff about, as B-Train just talked about, you know, when you got stuff coming out of locker room late in the year, you know, the uncertainty of your coaches. I mean, all those things going along and you're not going to the playoffs. You know, a lot of guys say, you know, I just want this to be over. You know, when all of those things are going on, some guys just take the attitude that I just can't wait for this to be over. Now, from our standpoint as Cardinals, guys are playing better right now. As we talked about earlier, you see them, they're stepping up. They're talking about the character of this football team. And all of that's going to play a part, I think, this weekend in Washington. I think you got one team who wants the season to be over, just wants to get away from all the negative publicity, and another team that, as Bynes had said, you know, we got something to prove. They still feel like they have something to prove.
And it's another opportunity here for the Cardinals, MJ, that are sixth opportunity now this season to try to win back-to-back games. They have not stacked wins upon one another at all here in 2017, and it's a big reason why that they're sitting where they are, under 500.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they've been inconsistent the whole year. We were talking earlier on the Blitz that, you know, based on the final three games, you know, considering where they were, you know, in September and October and November, they could finish 8-8. Now, you'd like to win out. Yeah, the Redskins, they're 3-3 at home. Cardinals, you know, they haven't won a ton of road games this year. And then you got the Giants at home. We know they're reeling right now, interim head coach and general manager. And then they go to Seattle. Maybe you play a spoiler alert. But I would think we would sign up for 8-8 right now, considering last year they should have been 8-8 if they didn't lose that game to Seattle tie in overtime. They should have won that game last year. So it's not what we all anticipated, but I think they can walk away going, considering how many injuries they've had. The Redskins got 17 players on injured reserve, including a couple starters on both sides of the ball. So it's interesting where we're at this point in the year. A lot of teams right now, and you know, some of these teams that only have five or six, seven guys on IR, they're still in playoff contention, where that's not the case with the Cardinals.
Yeah, you need to be healthy, and of course it helps to be a little bit lucky too. As well. Yeah, to make sure, especially along the offensive line. One note going into this ball game, and it affects you, B-Train, and that is the fact that just a half a sack away. One full sack away from surpassing you as far as number three all-time on the franchise single-season sack list. Chandler Jones has got 14 now. You had 14 and a half in 2004, and I know you've been very open. You want him to surpass you and maybe even get to Simeon Rice's 16 and a half.
I challenged him at the beginning of the year. He and Marcus Golden, unfortunately, we lost Marcus early in the season, but I wanted both of them to get to 15, because if they could get 30 sacks between the two of them, that would mean a lot of great plays for this Arizona Cardinal defense, and it would mean a lot of success. And anytime that you have a player like a Chandler Jones having the type of season that you have, you root for him. Of course you do. And it doesn't diminish anything that I accomplished back in 2004. I want him to get the single season, because I think he's been that consistent. He deserves it. And I think the fact that he's been so consistent since he's gotten the money and since he's been here in Arizona, he does represent the best of what you want from the sack total and having a record like that. He is a guy that has really represented himself well, and he's represented the organization. So I think if anybody would look good at the top of that list, Chandler Jones definitely would.
He's already at the top of the league list, Roy, as far as tackles for loss, especially, and it's against the run that he has really picked up his game in the last couple of weeks.
You know, and that's what's so amazing. That's what you love to see. You know, a guy who wants to pride himself in being a complete football player. I mean, and he's shown it. Week in and week out, he's been the most consistent Cardinal, maybe the most consistent defensive player in all of football. Unfortunately, a lot of times teams or the writers don't vote for Defensive Player of the Year based on records, which I think is so unfair. I mean, the guy has played the game the way it's been, should have been played, and he's played it on an amazing level all year long.
Join the Arizona Cardinals season ticket wait list today, and you'll receive an official NFL Cardinals football or an autographed Patrick Peterson photo. Offers available while supplies last. Visit azcardinals.com/waitlist for more information. We take a trip down memory lane next here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
will work from the shotgun right now. Three wide receivers. Cardinals back out of what they're showing as a blitz and send four after Banks. All kinds of time. Pass is intercepted. Heading down the far sideline is Adrian Wilson. To the 30, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. He scores.
One of my favorite players, Adrian Wilson, this defense, young defense, is stepping up to the plate.
Tom Dillon, John Missler, take you back to 2001. Adrian Wilson's first career pick six. It came against Washington, and the Cardinals will be in Washington, our nation's capital, coming up on Sunday. 11 a.m. is the kickoff, 6:30 a.m. pregame here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. Of course, when we talk Washington Redskins, Roy, you know very well about this team, former NFC East rivals. So for a while there, Cardinals and Redskins played twice a season, now just once every so often, although this will be the second straight meeting in as many years. But those battles and the division certainly, I'm sure, bring back a number of memories for you.
A number, without question. Very, very intense rivalry, as you said, when we were both in the NFC East. But one of my worst memories in my entire football career is in Washington, D.C. Oh, my gosh. It pains me. The last game of the season, winner wins the division. We had a great football team that year, so did they. And we lose it with an opportunity to kick a field goal in the last few seconds of the game. We were down about two touchdowns at halftime, came back and took the lead and lost it. And the Redskins went on to win the Super Bowl that year. And it was like in 84. It was, I didn't want to date myself. But, you know, our producer, Jim O'Mahundra, you know, he knows every date, every memory. And it's, you know, I was trying to get off as if it may have happened yet 2 weeks ago because I'm still so bitter. I just can't let it go, B. I'm like B Train in that respect. I just can't let it go. It's painful. And so, in that regard, I really had disdain for the Redskins throughout my career, but now with that memory, I hate them even more.
it's the losses that you guys always focus on the most, and I know for B-Tran there's one loss in particular that we just won't bring up.
Please
but
don't. He's got one too?
Yeah, I think he's got a couple, but one in particular. Yeah. You talk, Roy, about disdain for the Redskins. Well, a while back, and this was when Darnell Dockett announced his retirement, signed a one-day contract with the Arizona Cardinals. There were a number of former Cardinals at that press conference, including Bertram Berry, Darnell Dockett, Antrell Roll, Antonio Smith. They were all there to show their support for their teammate, Darnell Dockett. And then B-Train had this wonderful idea to bring them all in studio and talk and reminisce, and this is what we like to call story time, led by Antonio Smith talking about Darnell Dockett's dislike, for lack of a better word, of the Washington Redskins and one player in particular, Clinton Portis.
1 year we was playing Washington Redskins,
and everybody know,
and
I hate
Dockett
Washington.
Ran from one sideline all the way to the next on a sweep play, you know, to make the tackle on the sideline. He ran past me, so as the play is over there on the sideline, I'm running. I'm like, man, what's the scuffle over there? And I get to the pile, and I heard Clinton Portis say, and you can see the spit coming out of his mouth, man. You know, Doc got him on the ground. You know, I had to come pull him up off of him, but that was just the ferociousness that he played with. I truly believe that we were the most physical team in 08. That year we we was a mean bunch of birds out there.
Nice guys off the field, B-Train, but on the field you guys turned into something else.
I got to say, that was probably the funniest roundtable I've ever been a part of. I think I wound up laughing more than anybody because it was just so many great memories. And, of course, the cast of characters in that room, it was special. But to think about that, those memories and to think about that time in my career, it was definitely special.
Of course, MJ, covering that team and those guys, there wasn't a bigger character, I think, since I've been here in Arizona than one Darnell Dockett, because you just didn't know what he was going to say, do, or combination of both.
Yeah, but he never got in trouble, and that was a good thing. And I know guys would roll their eyes Monday through Saturday, but he would show up on Sunday. He had dog in him, and you got to go back to the late Denny Green, you know, drafting Fitz, getting Carlos Dansby, Darnell Dockett, and then they got Antonio Smith in the fifth round. You can make the case that's been their best draft either ever or a long, long time. I mean,
not ever. Let's get on.
Wow. Here we go.
You know me. You know I'm petty.
Old petty. Old petty over here.
All right. Well, okay, Roy. Let's put it up to
since 79. Okay.
Okay. But when you were playing in St. Louis, and then obviously you were here, and then you finished your career in Philadelphia. Okay. Give me four or five names that would at least comp that or parallel to that draft class.
Oh, I
we got a
that?
Hall of. We got.
I
a
mean,
hall
I got to justify what I say.
Well, yeah.
What about O.J. Anderson?
Okay, Roy Green.
That's enough. That's five right there.
Okay, we got
that's
a hall. Five. We got a Hall of Famer in Fitz.
That's five.
Carlos Dansby's he's in the 40-20 club, right? Dockett, he's got a Super Bowl tie with Reggie White and Coney Ealy, three sacks in that game, and Antonio Smith. He was actually starting.
I'm still putting my two okay. against that whole group.
Wow.
I'm still putting
okay,
my two.
Otis Anderson tips the scale then. Roy Green.
Super Bowl MVP. What can you say?
Touché. Roy Green counts himself as three times or three and a half times wow. to surpass that draft class. But as we go back and talk present day with yes. the Cardinals and Redskins, MJ, it's look, on at this point in the season, still, I think we talk about there are jobs, whether they're this season, next season, that are on the line, and there are some personal milestones as well. But going back to what we talked about earlier, I just think heading into this contest, at least from this perspective here, the Cardinals are going in with more momentum and at least maybe a better focus than their opponent.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever questioned the effort or, you know, sometimes we've questioned the energy, and maybe they haven't played it as a smart football team, but you know, listen, this team is not worried about the draft. I know the fans and the media, sometimes we get fixated on, oh, they're going to win another couple games, and they're going to drop in the draft. I mean, they want to finish strong right here, and if you want to start stacking a couple wins before the end of the year, that's how you want to finish. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Kirk Cousins, he's still completing, you know, 66% of his passes, so you're going to have to be, you know, tight coverage, and curious to see who Patrick Peterson. Now, he does have 22 touchdowns and only 9 interceptions. He's been sacked 37 times, so that could play in the hand of a guy like Chandler Jones. Maybe he gets a couple more sacks to get the team record since he's been here. So, again, you're going to have to go in there, and Gabbert can't turn the ball over, and we'll see if the Cardinals can run the ball, and they can force some turnovers, and that will go a long way. And getting back-to-back wins, something they haven't done this year.
That's good.
And it always comes down to the trenches and what that offensive line for the Cardinals will look like and how they'll be able to perform, opening up holes for maybe Adrian Peterson, but if not, Kerwin Williams, and of course Blaine Gabbert at the quarterback. And then we'll be back here next week to talk about it here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Special thanks to our senior broadcast manager and producer Jim Omohundro, technical directors Tiffany Omohundro and Andy Greenberg, in studio coordinators Cody Fincher and Grant Greeley. For Bertram Berry, Roy Green, Mike Turecki, I'm Craig Riolu. This has been the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Cardinals and Redskins kick off at 11 a.m. here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Great interception by the Badger. Tyrann Mathieu stepped in front.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, John Brown!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.